Hi guys, this is Troy.
This is Daniel.
This is Delphon.
And this is Weiming here.
And welcome back to Purpure Pub Podcast. So anyway, today we'll be talking about the FX3.
The Sony FX3 that just launched yesterday night.
I just got the news and I'm totally clueless about this.
Don't worry, we'll fill you in with the stuff.
Yeah.
So basically, okay, it's kind of right now I just feel like the FX3 is kind of in a very weird spot. Because if you just base off the specs and everything, right? If you're just basing off specs, it's basically just a... It's just a A7S3.
Atas A7S3
with a heat sink, without an EV, and with mounting holes for you. Mounting threads for you to mount your
handle
and everything. Then it comes together with a microphone holder without the microphone. So it's like, I don't know what the hell's going on with it.
No, push up.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, what's your thoughts on like the FX3 launch, honestly?
I felt it's too close to the A7S3, in a sense where if as somebody who is still considered an amateur, by looking at the specs, I would rather save that $400 difference to get the A7S3 than to get the FX.
And we're talking FX3. About $400, which means it's about 500 plus.
Okay, maybe about
1.5 times around there.
1.4.
It's $400 more than the A7S.
So it's $400, which means it's about
600.
About 600.
Okay, let's just say about 600.
800 plus.
So you're looking at about, I don't know, like maybe about close to 5K. 5K for it.
Yeah. But I mean, from the looks of it, when they try to target it as a, you know, budget friendly cinema camera, I just feel like it kind of blends too much between the line of what the prosumer series towards their actual pro series of how their lineups is. I feel like they're trying to make it consumer friendly, but at the same time it creates kind of almost a replica of what the A7S3 can do. And yeah, they removed the EV, they added the heat sink so that you can have unlimited recordings. They had the handle, the mount points, and also with the attachment for the mic. But mic is not included,
they include the top handle with the XLR inputs already.
Yeah.
But you still need to buy the additional shotgun dish to mount it.
For the audio interface.
Sure. Yeah. But I just feel like at that point, how are you going to like, if you are a salesman and you want to pitch this to people, especially to consumers, prosumers, for example, when you have something that the A7S3 can completely do, how are you going to sell the FX3?
Hi guys, this is FX3. It has a good audio interface. However, it does not come with audio interface. So you can shoot a good cinema, but without sound. If you want the sound, buy the add-on microphone.
But the thing is that you could just buy the microphone, right? And just mount it on the A7S3, which will work the same.
You can use that $400 to buy a very, very good Rode Video Mic Pro.
Yeah.
Or an actual proper shotgun mic, you know?
And maybe the thing about... maybe people just want to shoot a video.
I think the only reason why people might get the FX3 is because of the Cinetone.
Honestly, because you think about it, like their software against the A7S3 is almost identical.
It's pretty much identical.
So, obviously they wouldn't put Cinetone into A7S3, but doesn't mean that it is not possible. If they're able to do it on the FX3, it is possible that they could eventually put it in the A7S3.
Especially with like firmware updates and such.
Yeah.
And I mean, Cinetone is Cinetone.
Mm.
But you can always program your picture profile to get it very close to a Cinetone setting.
And I mean, also, you think about it, like, the number of, not f-stops, the, what was it?
Dynamic range?
Yeah, the dynamic range is the same as the A7S3.
About 16 stops?
No, 13. About 13 stops.
Oh, I thought you said it's so 16.
It depends on like which ratings.
If I'm not wrong, that time I saw S-Log 3 had 15 stops dynamic range if you use S-Log 3.
So the thing about it is that if you're comparing it to something like an FX6 and FX9, where it's really pro, like it's really in the pro cinema world where you have more stops to kind of work with, the Cinetone is really into like towards the pro editing rig kind of style, because the length of that stop, you still have to run an external monitor, right, in order to even record 12-bit uncompressed.
Dude,
right?
No, 16-bit uncompressed.
Yeah, 16-bit
over uncompressed. HDMI.
Yeah, but the A7S3 can do it as well.
That's the thing. The A7S3 can also do it over HDMI.
Yeah,
16-bit.
And also the FX3, right, has basically 5 mounting holes, right? But the thing is that people would just get a cage.
Yeah. But then the thing is that the reason why they did it is because it's for people to not use a cage,
but
it defeats the purpose, because like ultimately the purpose of a cage, you know, is so that you have even tons and tons of like mounting points.
And also it's
so
meant for like protection.
Just protection as well, but it allows you to like, for example, like incorporate rails into like your camera so that you can like do like matte boxes.
I mean, like, you see, the FX3, one body has about 5 quarter-inch thread. A cage has easily about 30.
Yeah, precisely.
Easily 30.
And if you think about it, you know, like, yes, it might sound like quite of like an exaggeration, or why do you need so many mounting holes? But that's the thing, and one mounting holes means that whatever you put onto like your camera on the cage itself will be more secure, it will be more sturdy, you know, and you don't have to worry about like, oh, okay, like I only have this amount of mounting holes, so I only can use this amount of stuff onto my camera.
Yeah. And the weirdest part is that the FX3, you can use it to do photography as well, which is very weird.
Yeah, there is a photography. It's literally the A7S3 without an EVF and with a thermal fan.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like,
I read a lot of reviews, a lot of like people's comments. I said if they really wanted to make this like a step above, right, just add in a built-in ND filter, that's it, dude. I think
built-in ND filter, I think then maybe the price would be justified. Because ND filters, you know, obviously like we always can technically put an ND filter on the front of the lens, but if it's closer to the sensor and all, right, we reduce any like
and plus like it sort of saves cost, because if you're changing lens from lens, you know, different lens have different filter thread.
Yes.
So like it saves you from having to take out, pull in, or having to buy multiple multiple ND filters just so that you can shoot.
And
the thing is, A7S3 is targeted for usage of like wedding concert. But the thing is, a lot of people use A7S3 for it. They can just use it. Yeah. But they just redesigned the A7S3 with more expensive price.
I mean, it's technically lighter. It's just more compact.
So you can run around.
It's heavier.
FX3
is heavier than the A7S3.
I mean, because of the heat.
You see this, an A7S3 weighs 614 grams body.
Okay.
FX3 is 715 grams. That's 100 grams heavier.
Oh my god,
that's
100 grams.
That's 100 grams heavier.
And you're getting
and technically you're getting the, don't forget, FX3 has no EVF.
Oh yeah.
That means most of the weight came just from the fan.
Yeah.
Just from the fan and the body, because the body is apparently bigger and thicker.
And the worst part of all is that you definitely have to mount a proper monitor onto it.
Oh,
if you're planning to do this as a full rig.
3-inch monitor, right?
No, 3-inch. Yeah, the default one is a 3-inch, which is very hard to work with.
You minimal need a 5-inch.
Yeah. But you think for wedding, more like a run and gun situation, then you're holding a 100 gram more heavier camera.
Yeah. I mean, you might, at the same time, you might as well just say, oh, I can mount this whole rig as a gimbal rig as well.
Yeah,
right? But then
you can do it better with your A7S3 with like more easier balancing and such.
I just feel like it's such a lackluster kind of rig.
In that case, it's like trying to ask people which one you choose. Okay, let's say if you are an aspiring videographer, okay, never owned Sony and any other brand, let's say, choose between the C70 or the FX3. The C70, if I'm not wrong, does have a built-in ND, and there's like 16 function buttons. Yes, it is bigger, but for that size, you are getting
the bang
definitely more. You're definitely getting more.
Yeah, and at that price range, right, you literally can go, let's say if you're going budget, right, like the Canon C100 will also still be a very good buy at that kind of price range. Even till now, C100s, there are a lot of people that are still using it.
Precisely, right? And especially got, like, there's the Mark IIs and...
Yeah, like, even if you're getting, like,
100, 200, 300...
Yeah, so, like, if you're buying a C100 Mark II, the body itself is about 3.2K. Right, it is still relatively affordable for whoever that's planning to go into pro cinema line of target. Right, yes, it's a very big rig, but you have all your XLR outputs, you have your SDI ins and outs, you have all your ND filters and all this being built onto it. And the thing is that when they launched the ZV-1, they introduced a digital ND inside. And there's a one-stop ND that they added inside on the ZV-1.
Yeah.
But why... I think that if they added this feature, right...
To even all of the newer cameras, like, even if they added it to the A7S III or the FX3, it would be really good. People would take it like, yes, it's only one-stop, but it will help.
Yeah, it helps a lot. Like, if you introduce, like, a two-stop ND into the... FX3, right? I think it makes much more sense. It makes, like, when it comes to going out for production shoots and all this kind of stuff, it makes sense that if you have an internal ND, you don't have to deal with all this, like, having to mount a variable ND and all this kind of stuff. And it's easier to work with. And then it makes sense that people will go towards, like, the FX line, because that is where the pros will go towards that.
But I think it comes to, like, the whole point whereby it's, like, this is made so that it's small and like a small form factor being able to like do whatever the A7S III is doing right now.
I mean,
and like how can you even put an ND filter in and all and be able to use it efficiently and such?
I mean, true, but at that price point, you are literally fighting with other brands like Canon C100, even like a Sigma FP, for example. You can even compare
that price is also okay.
Like even the new Black Magic Pocket 6K Pro that is launching.
Wow, that one is what? 3565.
Yeah, at that price range, right?
I would honestly just get the Black Magic.
If you're being like a fool, you really planning to go into cine production style, right? Dude, even the new Black Magic Pocket 6K Pro makes much more sense.
It's more ideal.
It's like, let's say, if you're not the kind of person that does love run and gun, get a Blackmagic, get a Canon, get a freaking Red Komodo. So if you have the budget.
Yeah, if you have the budget, you might as well just go for...
If you're not the kind of run and gun person, if you are, I would still recommend you get the A7S III.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about locally, right, just the Blackmagic Cinema, the 6K Pro, you're looking at a 3.7K.
Yeah,
which is very reasonable for its price. And we have seen people using the Blackmagic 6K for Pro Cine and even for Netflix series.
Don't forget, Blackmagic, what has it for them over Sony? Yes, Sony has Cinetone, whatever, all of this, right? But Blackmagic records video in RAW.
And don't forget, they actually have built-in ND as well.
Oh,
they do. They come with a built-in 2, 4, or 6 stop ND filters.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is like, at that point, right, you might as well just work with like a Blackmagic.
Unless if you are a die-hard Sony fan, you have all of the glass already, like you've invested too much into...
Yeah, but in that case, and all, you have already gotten the A7S III.
Or even if you really have the budget, right, then just go with the A1 or just go with like the FX6 at that point, right? It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense that, firstly, you know, especially since this is supposed to be a cine, like, why does it have a photography capability feature and such? If you want to go full out cine and all, right, why not focus on that? And why not like be able to contribute with that? Even like having a EVF and all, that would be idealistic.
I mean, if you build it like, okay, we can understand that the FX6 and FX9 is a very expensive lineup.
That one is just pure on already.
Yeah, but the thing is that when people look at the FX3 and compare to the FX6, they'll see like, it doesn't make sense to even invest on the FX3, right? Yes, it is cheap, but I have alternatives out there that could be capable of doing better than what the FX3 can do.
Again, the only good thing that also Sony has amongst every other brand, even the Nara, is that autofocus is still on point. A lot of cinema cameras will not have the same autofocus as Sony.
No, you get they're low light.
Yeah, but if you're going into if you're going into really production scale, you don't really want to rely on autofocus that much.
You will most definitely only need that when you're doing more run and gun. But if you're going to be more like cinematic in terms of like you're focusing and such, you know, you have like
you have a focus puller.
You have a dedicated second DP that will literally be within a monitor and a follow focus just at the side. They're just trying to follow.
So it doesn't make sense that, yes, we understand that this is more targeted towards the prosumer kind of lineup, but it makes it way too close with what the A7S III is. If there was a differentiating factor, right, a major one that separates these two apart, it makes sense for people to approach and go for the FX3. But as it stands right now, it's way too similar.
Like I texted the group yesterday, I say like, honestly, the last holy shit moment from Sony's release was the A7 S3. The A1 was meh. The FX3 was redesigned. Meh. They were all like...
They're all enticing, but then they're not really like something
that they're like, oh my god, this is mind-blowing. This is like revolutionary. Like, we can only hope the A74 will be the next holy shit moment.
Like, okay, the A1 makes sense if you're talking about photography standpoint, right? It makes sense. It's
a bit overpriced, but yes.
Yes, it's a little bit overpriced, but it does what it needs to do. Yeah. Okay, it is overpriced, but it does what it needs to do, right? But then you have the FX3, which is in such a weird
zone. It's a weird spot. It's between the A1, the A7S III is like...
But at a more... unnaturally.
I don't know. I I think we can all agree here. Okay, maybe not that one. We three here can agree that the FX3 is in a very, very weird spot. But that's because maybe... We all say that it's because we're not into the whole videography production side. So we don't really... fully understand the subtle differences. But in our opinion, since our podcast or anybody else's opinion doesn't give two shits about, you know, we don't care about them.
I mean, we still care, but
not as much.
Opinion is
it's really, I would rather say, if somebody were to ask me, what would you get, even though I don't have that kind of skill, to just get the A7S III, dude. Honestly.
Yeah, it's still more idealistic. It does whatever the FX3 does and all, like, sure, it cannot last as maybe as long as the FX3, but in this kind of circumstances, you're probably going to get a V-mount battery to tap in, so on and so forth. And you still have your EVF, and even if you don't use it and all, you're already going to be using a mount, like a monitor and all. Things in which and all, right, you get a cheaper price and you're still doing whatever the FX3 can do and maybe still have like additional functions that still works for it.
Yeah, that's true. Then it just comes to a point where if you have alternatives in the market, right? Like, if you have like the Canon C100, even getting a secondhand C100, it makes a lot more sense. Right. If you are very budget conscious, you don't want to throw and invest into something that is way too expensive, right? The Blackmagic 6K. Well, let's not even talk about the Pro. The 6K still works fine, right? The A7S III still works fine. The C100 still works fine.
Even Lumix S1H. Right?
Yeah, even the Sigma FP. I mean, that thing is atrocious to work with, but it has a
strong camera.
Yeah, it has its
values. SP shoots in RAW also. The SP shoots in RAW.
There are a lot of, especially this whole, in a sense, almost 2 to 3 years where Sony has pushed the boundaries of what mirrorless camera can do and towards the full frame side. The A7S III was a wonder, right? To really showcase how big you can go when it comes to what you can do. Even as a prosumer, you can even use it as a real production standpoint.
Yes, which is.
But when you put your FX3, which is meant to be a cinema-grade camera, into the market at this kind of price range, you have way too much competitors that can outperform what your FX3 can do. And it doesn't make sense.
I mean,
if they potentially add like additional firmware updates, but if they add firmware updates, you know, what would be more enticing to potentially get the FX 3 or not?
Duplicates the firmware of FX3 to A7S3.
Okay, but then what if a firmware update whereby you can record 16-bit internally?
Would be a very fast stretch. Maybe 16-bit compressed?
Yes.
I wouldn't say uncompressed.
You just say 12 or 14-bit internal, I think is already...
Yeah, already. I mean...
14-bit internal and then 16-bit external is like... I think a lot of people will be very happy.
I mean, that makes much more sense to where the FX3 stands because we all know that it has the horsepower to kind of drive it, right? It right now, with its updated, in a sense, the thermal clearing, right? So you don't have to worry about heats that much. So it is, in a sense, possible for you to even record at a higher bit rate and not worry about the camera overheating. And if that is an upgrade that they are willing to push, it makes sense for content creators to go towards the FX3. If not, it's just weird.
Well, like, so what weird. Else can potentially else? Entice people to potentially buy the FX3 other than maybe like, I mean, 12-bit, 14-bit and all, I think that would be a great deal and all.
The next software update is to put in electronic ND filters.
But that's the thing and all, that's essentially just saying that, oh, okay, I have, unless I can have a cleaner ISO, but
yeah,
I mean, with technology nowadays, maybe it's possible, but as of now, like,
why not? They make an attachment. Okay, it's gonna cost more, but an attachment that directly allows you to mount an electronic ND filter, like what Daniel says, onto it, where it's specific to only the FX3. That makes much more sense, right? Then you give people the option of, okay, this makes sense. I can work with this. And yes, it's gonna cost a bit more, but I'm pretty sure that people are willing to invest to go towards that direction.
It comes to a point whereby it's like if you're going to add more stuff and all just so that the camera is functional in a cine kind of constraint and such and all, right? It sort of like just raises the value of it unnecessarily and it deters people further away from wanting to get the camera.
Or maybe towards the audio department, I guess, to have being able to record at a higher bit rate for audio side. I think it makes much more sense.
But that's the thing, if you're going to record audio and all, why not just record externally with another
and
sound recorder and such and all, with more like proper controls over it.
Yeah, it's just a very weird place to kind of deal with it, honestly.
Definitely, it is a weird place to be in for FX3.
Then, let's move towards the Blackmagic Pocket 6K Pro!
Dude, honestly, like, winning. You wanted to get a Blackmagic when you can, and now it's like you have legit a very decently priced camera that gives you everything. And I saw a lot of videos about people using their old Blackmagic Pocket 6K on a Weberless. It works fine.
Yeah.
Okay, other than they need to get a counterweight. Other than that, it still works perfectly fine.
Then there's a lot of things that they actually stepped up from the 6K. Like, they had a brighter monitor, so it's running at a 1500 nit,
which is brighter than an iPhone screen.
Yeah, and also it's running a way larger battery, especially when Blackmagic has issues with their batteries in the past.
So far, that one, the 6K Pro, right, says that right now with its bigger battery, you can run up to an hour. And then they also made a battery grip.
Yeah.
Which you can put in two additional batteries. So one battery in the camera, two additional batteries outside, giving you technically triple the battery life. Not double, like how normal battery grips will work, but this time it's triple for up to 3 hours of recording continuous.
Yeah, and you still have built-in NDs, so I say it will clear 2, 4, 6 stops of literal proper ND. And then you have even like the mini XLR jack for you to properly push your audio out. And I feel like they made a very proper upgrade to what the 6K is. And it makes a lot of sense to call it the Pro, right? And obviously, the price range for it is actually not that crazy as well. Mm. Like when we're talking about an upgrade to a Pro, like you see the price for it's an S3 right now locally. Mm. You're looking to pay about
4.7.
How much was the A7 S3? You're looking at about 4899, right?
Another thing I also have to add, if you buy this Blackmagic 6K Pro, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are giving you a free with that thing, a full version of DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah.
That's the thing. A full version of DaVinci Resolve worth about what, 300 to 400 USD?
400 USD.
They're giving it to you for free. if you buy a 6K Pro. So not only like you don't have to worry about a monthly subscription for the rest of your life, you are getting industry standard editing software.
Mm.
Premiere Pro isn't really industry. A lot of companies are using DaVinci Resolve because of its ridiculous color grading.
Mm.
Like, yeah. So if you're telling me I'm paying cheaper and I'm getting a free full version software with it,
yes,
I may have to sell all my lenses to just be able to buy one or two new lenses.
But that's the thing, they're using EF mount.
To EF mount right now, you can get it for pretty cheap. Yeah, honestly.
And it has been out in the market for so long, because obviously like Canon has been out for so long. And like, you don't even need to be that worried at all. Like, you can even get secondhand lenses. Sure, maybe the warranty is a bit expired. But ultimately, you know, Canon glass has always been very good. It's always been a industry standard and all for a lot of people and all. Like, even some senior people and all still use like Canon lenses, EF mounts and all for their filming and such. And it has been working fine.
So I just feel like, you know, if we have like a choice to make, right? If we're really venturing into like a pro consumer kind of video production kind of style, right?
Like Magic, yeah.
BMPCC 6K Pro is like,
it has everything you need for a price that doesn't scare you away.
Yeah.
And a lot of enticing things that comes with it, like the free full version software, as well as like
still can record in ProRes, Apple RAW, Blackmagic RAW, and all this kind of stuff, right?
You can shoot RAW. That's the main selling point. A lot of video like the A7S3, the FX3, cannot shoot in RAW. They all shoot in Cinetone, which is in a sense not RAW.
Yeah, and if you want to compare like RAW and all, right, even the Sigma FP, yes, it shoots RAW, but the thing is, right, it's not compressed RAW, and ultimately and all, right, all the stuff that you'll be getting, all the footages you'll be having and all, it'll be so big and all that you will need so much space just to be able to work with it. But when it comes to Blackmagic RAW and all, right, it is compressed, but then it is still really attractive. It's
manageable. You can use, you like that time when they released that Ursa 12K, right? In that release video, right, the boss literally showed off that you can run like up to like eight videos at one time on just a normal MacBook Pro using the DaVinci Resolve. That just shows how tuned the codec as well as the DaVinci software is for.
Precisely.
So like, if you can run 12K on a MacBook with no issues, no buffering, no need to use proxies, right? Dude, 6K is going to be a freaking breeze, especially people who have the newer MacBook, like the M1 chip or like the previous MacBook Pro, right? Dude, it's going to run damn smooth. You don't have to worry about ever having to use proxies at all.
For sure.
It's just such a weird spot for Sony to be in now. I think everybody's kind of like just going to wait out to see what the A74 has installed.
Okay, A74.
If it comes out.
Yeah.
A74, honestly, right now from looking at the A1, A7S 3 and FX 3, honestly, I'm pretty sure that they will add to the A74 to not make it too high is 4K 60. Maximum 4K 60 at 10 bit. Because don't forget, if you put in 4K 120 FPS at like 422, right? Dude, it's literally the same setting as the A7S3. The A74 has to be,
I mean, if you put it in that way, right? Okay. Maybe they may have the same settings, but they don't have the same ISO stops where the Acer S3 can comprehend with. Like, we all know that the Acer S3 has dual ISO, so even at very low light, you are still able to work with it. Right. The A7 III, the conventional lineup has always been focused to what an average consumer wants, which makes sense. Like, you can have that frame rate, but I'm not gonna include like what the A7 S3 was known for. Right. Yeah, the extreme low light capabilities, yes. 16-bit, all this kind of stuff, like you wouldn't expect.
Nah, you would definitely like Sony will not put that in, because if they did, they are really killing off their own.
The Max, like a 12-bit uncompressed ROG. It's possible, honestly. Like, if you're looking at that price point, if the BMPCC 6K can do it, I think they have to shift their whole lineup to make sense to what the market is right now.
Yes, for sure.
It's just such a weird spot for Sony right now, especially when...
I have very mixed feelings about what Sony is doing as of this year, especially since it's only just the second month. It's only going to like the end of the first quarter and all soon, but they're already releasing two cameras, of which and all people are not actually as enticed and all. They're like,
well, everybody was so hyped about maybe like the FX3, maybe being able to shoot in 8K, like possibly 8K, which makes sense. Being able to have proper DCI input output, so it's easier to work with when you're talking about a professional kind of rig, all this kind of stuff, like all these minute things that make sense as a cinema grade camera. But because they have all these features out, it puts it at such a weird spot for competitors to say, hey, I think right now is the time for us to kind of overtake what Sony has in the market right now.
And I'm honestly thinking, in terms of video, you already have Blackmagic, Canon, Android, technically already almost on the same level right now with Sony. Maybe some of the cameras higher than Sony.
And at that similar kind of price range as well. Let's not forget. It's like, if I give you a choice where you can buy a Blackmagic 6K Pro versus an E1,
straight away 6K Pro. Yeah. I don't even take videos, but I already know, dude, just get the 6K Pro.
And this is coming from a person, Daniel, using a Sony camera
that dude, does photography.
If you're telling me that, okay, I have to start doing video, and I'm giving you, let's say, I'm giving you 5K to spend on a new kit, dude, I'm saying like, okay, that's it. I won't even look at the A7S3, because even though it might be very nice, very enticing, if I really want to be into video and video only, right, I'm just gonna get Blackmagic, dude. The amount of things that come with the Blackmagic,
it's very enticing. It has really shown what is needed and given what we wanted and all.
I mean, all these things is what we want, but we can't really, in a sense, do in Singapore because we have limitations of what we can actually do as well, which kind of sucks, you know. Like, if we have the budget, we have the things to work with to actually create a proper film to push out in terms of Singapore context, it'll make sense for us to afford for all this kind of equipment. But at this current point where media in Singapore is kind of very controlled, a lot of people could just kind of just travel overseas and continue their film making work over there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, if
Singapore potentially opens up their willingness to like more ideologies and such, and I'm sure maybe that would be possible. But as of now, you know, Singapore is still very conservative in this manner when it comes to media portrayal, media representation, media spread and such. And there are still a lot of topics whereby we can't even allow ourselves to shoot and all without having like very bad backlash and all coming from.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, like, gear is gear, you know. Like how we talk about in the previous podcast, if gear is really essential, it comes to a point where, yeah, get what you want, get what you need. But honestly, at this point, FX3 just feels like a very awkward spot. I mean, if we have a chance to try it out, right? I think then we can really say, okay, why this will make it shine over the A7S3. But based off a lot of YouTubers, a lot of their reviews that they have shown on the FX3, it just puts it at such an awkward spot as compared to all the other cameras out there.
For sure.
And for those who have already invested in the A7S III, I see no point for them to even go for FX3. Right, the A7S III is going to last for a very long time.
Yeah, and usually Sony takes a long while before they release the next S series. But every S series that has come out so far and all has always been phenomenal.
It has been a major step up.
It's the S series is known to be not only super great in video, but it's also, it has the title of being, you guys know what S, the A7S, the S stands for, the A7R, what the R stands for. You guys know what that means, right?
Mm.
So S stands for sensitive, R stands for resolution.
Mm.
A7S has a nickname of being a low light beast.
Mm.
Because like even now, you see the A7S III, you can shoot, since it has dual native ISO, the second native ISO is 12,800. You shoot at 12,800, dude, it's going to go back down to like if you're shooting at 100 ISO.
Mm.
Literally no noise whatsoever.
Which is really something...
Which truly, is insane, dude.
Truly, you can respect about Sony and all that. They really do put their up like top game when it comes to their low light capabilities and all. Like, I'll say like, even for me and all, there are many times where I wonder whether I should have went to Sony, and I'm sure like winning and Daniel will be like, you just come out, just come to Sony. But for me, you know, like, yes, Sony, as much as I'm a Lumix user and all, I will always respect Sony in these areas of like their field and all, whereby they are amazing and low light with their autofocus and such. Yeah. Anyway, so
I think that's basically what we really wanted to talk about today. I don't think we really have...
I think we have a lot of like things that we wish the FX3 truly could show us, but we are deeply disappointed because of what it has shown. And yeah, definitely, if in the future and all, right, they do have any possible firmware updates that shows any promise and all, then sure, maybe we'll come back and review it again. But
yeah, as Sony, of now, Sony Singapore, hit us up. Let us try your FX3, you know. Then we'll truly understand why this is like.
Just loan us an A7S3 and an FX3.
Yeah.
And then we will do testing.
Comparison.
Yeah,
even though
comparison.
Even though YouTubers out there can probably do a better comparison than us. But hey, I mean
we're technical people.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys, let's say if you have anything that you want us to talk about, feel free to like just DM us on Instagram and we'll gather the topics and her talk about, let's say, like in a future session.
Anyway, we come to the end of this podcast.
Welcome to the end of the podcast. Thank you for listening to DTW.
We're not even using that.
Oh, crap. Oh, no.
But anyway, thank you very much for listening to our podcast again. Feel free to hit us up with any possible topics that you want to talk about, because we are free and open to any kind of like specific areas that you wish to venture into or want us to venture into. Anyway, this is Troy.
This is Daniel.
I'm still here.
And this is Raymond.
And this is Patia Podcast. Remember to
BBB.